this has perhaps been the hardest thing I've ever had to try to say. For some, I still feel very much to try to come up with things that haven't been said yet by the time I got here. So I'm going to try to just share some images and some experiences that perhaps are uniquely mine. And try to paint some pictures. You can try to imagine them. I'm from Boulder. We have to visualize things.
The mic.
Let's try this.
All right. My favorite image of my father that is on my mind now, you can see a variant of it on the site, is standing around on some soccer field in some desolate part of Denver suburbia, waiting for the game to begin. And we'd heard, as we often heard, that he might make it if he could. It's rough getting out. So. And you look over, and here he's coming. He's dressed perhaps just a little bit more lightly than he was on the Summit of Tyree or something like that. With Paco the dog leading him in front on the leash, you see this sort of train coming across the field. And it's always such a joyous vision for us, for the kids. We'll miss it. A related image, those of you who may have seen Bloom County, the comic strip of many years ago, there was a character there in a wheelchair who would go around with all variety of wildlife kind of stacked up in his lap, doing these Star Trek episodes and so on. And when I think back to scenes around the house with two or three grandchildren on a lap and standing on the back and maybe riding on a wheel office chair dragged behind them going around the house, you'd see this absurd train going around in circles. And it just reminds me of this Bloom County Engage Warp Drive sort of strip that you still see out there. And those strips often came with a line along the lines of, it's never too late to have a happy childhood. And I think he understood that very well. I think he did. So here's a different sort of image. When I was very young and not living with him at that particular time, but I came here and he was, at this point, trying to get out of his apartment building in downtown Denver, which wasn't the nicest place to be living, and looking for a place in the hills. And so we drove all over the Front Range, various towns, just looking at properties, looking, trying to figure out where it was that he would like to and where he could live. And he ended up picking this absurd house at the top of a long driveway. It was pink on the outside. It was pink on the inside. The appliances were pink. The floor was pink. It was an aesthetic nightmare. But, of course, that is the house that he moved into and lived in all this time. It's not pink anymore.
Mostly.
Mostly. It may have changed since I was there last. But that house, it meant a lot to him, and it meant a lot to me. Among other things, it gave me one of the lessons that I drew from my father, which is, don't let other people tell you what you can or cannot do with your life. There are so many people who told him that somebody in his condition could not possibly live in a house like that. What are you going to do when it snows? What are you going to do when this happens? And he found out what he was going to do at various times. But he did it. And he lived there and was a real show that you can do what you set yourself to do. The day before he died, he decided all of a sudden that he wanted to get up. And kind of gave us all a scare, really. But he did it. We got him up, probably changed his shirt a couple of times. And then, you know, it was difficult for him to do much of anything at this point, to the point that for the first time in probably 30 years, I asked him if he wanted me to push him, something I'd learned not to do when I was very young. But no, he was going to drive himself, and he did. And we just went around, we went out on the deck briefly. He looked around, he looked at his views at one side, he looked at his views at the other side, then he went back to bed for the last time. But it was what he loved. And he put himself in the situation that he loved, and he stayed there. And he enjoyed it to his very last day. Independence, as we've talked about, he guarded his independence so fiercely. I've been accused of doing the same to excess. But this, I believe, is a lesson for us all. You don't let the world tell you how you're going to live your life. You don't let the world take care of living your life for you. You do it yourself. On the other hand, if you wake up in the middle of the night and your heart is doing weird things and you're feeling disoriented, maybe you shouldn't drive yourself to the hospital. Or your family gets annoyed at you. And we can all take things a little too far at times. Despite that, another lesson I've learned is do ask for help when you need it. It's all around. Some of you may have seen his Cushman Traxter thing. If you think about the riding lawnmower from Hell, okay, it looks like a small tank on two treads, the incredible two-cycle engine in it. You know, you can hear it from miles away. This is not a vehicle that you would use for viewing wildlife. Or for having a clean air experience, for that matter. But it was something to let him explore his little piece of land and all that. And he went out once. I was in the house. I didn't go with him. In the snow with his companion at the time. And they managed to get this thing stuck in the driveway. They got it bogged down. And so she got out, and she was shoveling this thing out and all that. And they came up, and they told the story. He was sitting there. She was shoveling. And some people driving by on the road were so struck by this that they stopped their car. They didn't help shovel. They took pictures of him sitting there while she was shoveling him out. It was a good story. There was an experience much more recently sitting on the deck of my house in the hills above Boulder that I had at that time. And I was there with various members of my family who were, shall we say, making sure that I was sure about choices I was making in my life at that particular time. And I looked at my father, and he looked at me, and he said, follow the people in your life. That is what you need to do. If you follow the people, fill your life with the best people that you find, you create a rich life. And I just, you know, I can't imagine that many people could pull together a set of people like this. But he did it. He really did it. Imagine a family Thanksgiving dinner. So, a lot of kids in the modern world are faced with this choice. Where do I go for Thanksgiving? Do I go to Mom's house? Or do I go to Dad's house? Well, we never really had to face that problem very often because, despite having been separated for decades, we were able to celebrate our family holidays together with the whole family there. Despite all that went on, my mother and my father were able to keep the bond between them for all this time. He told me it was all due to her. I think it was a shared project. But what it taught me to a great extent is what love really is. Because I don't think you could beat it in a lot of ways. I was rather shocked that some of my ex-girlfriends didn't want to be my lifetime friends. I just sort of thought that was how it was supposed to work out. Some of you may have seen the first van he bought, which is this monster van, huge thing, with this boat rack on the left-hand side that was forever getting it pulled over. All that, you know, stove and refrigerator and bed in the back and all that. And we loaded it up once, just the two of us, and went to Arches. And we were hanging out there and doing various things. And I was out scrambling around on the rock for a while. And then finally kind of came back and said, you know, I'm back, Dad, where's the beer? Something like that. And he was all set up to go. He wanted to leave and wanted to go home. And so we packed up the van and we drove home all through the night. And it was only many years later, in the pages of New Mobility, that I got the rest of that story, which is that I was up scrambling around on the rock, doing this typical crazy things that a high school kid might do on the rock in Arches, and there was this thunderstorm coming in, and there was lightning coming around, And he was watching this and saying, what can I do? How can I bring him in? How can I help my son? And it freaked him. It really freaked him out. But the interesting thing is, of course, that this was not really a disability issue or anything like that. This is, as I'm just beginning to understand, I think, something the parents go through. My kids are out there. They're doing things. How can I help them? I think he came to terms with this, and I think that one of the things that really made him what he was as a parent was that he raised three very different children, and he let them all be the people that they are without ever telling them the people that they should be, without ever expecting them to follow in his footsteps. I mean, I think he was kind of shocked to raise a techno nerd son. But he let each child follow their path, encouraged them to the utmost, and I think was, if I dare say, so proud of all three to a great extent. The last image I have, I guess, to share is again right at the back at the very end when he was looking old and run down and so on. And the thing that really struck me at that time was how much she looked like his father did when his father was very old and very run down. And how much she acted like him. The last morning, the morning before, I just opened the shades and it was a beautiful sunrise, just about that view. And he just did this sort of, oh, would you look at that? That was his grandfather all the way through. What I think we see from this is that we grow up to be somewhat like our parents, whether we like it or not. And I think it's pretentious and wishful to think that that might happen to the three of us. That's an awfully hard target to hit. But you got to have a goal. And that's my thank you.